Jeremy Reisman is the man in charge of Pride of Detroit. And you can follow him on X, Detroit on Lion. He is the editor-in-chief, and he joins us here on X's and Bros on this Tuesday morning as he preps for the draft that will take place on Thursday. Jeremy, appreciate the time. Really enjoy the work as well. What excites you most about Thursday, first and foremost?
Well, I think, to me, honestly, just having Detroit on the main stage and having the city on display for a whole bunch of fans that are going to be coming in from everywhere, to me is really exciting, because it almost feels like some of the excitement of the draft has been sucked out a little bit for the Lions. There's been so much trust in Brad Holmes and what he has done, and the fact that they don't have a top 10 pick, and the fact that, you know, they only have three picks in the top 150. It seems like people aren't as excited for the Lions' actual draft more so than just the event being here in Detroit. So I think I'm with them there. I think I'm just excited for the city to be on display.
I'm with you on that. Why do you think so many Lions fans trust Brad Holmes?
I mean, the results speak for themselves, right? I was just kind of writing up something today on how I think the first major decision he made has resulted in all the dominoes falling the way they have, and that is them deciding to stick with Jared Goff in 2021. You know, they had a lot of draft capital back then. You look at that 2021 draft class, you know, the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and two out of those three guys are now no longer on their original team. And so the Lions got to keep all of their draft capital. They stayed patient to their board. They got Penei Sewell, who is one of the best offensive tackles in football, if not the best. And everything else falls into place. They get to keep all those first-round picks that they had, which have turned into some big playmakers. I think last year is really the kind of tipping point for fans where I think they realize, you know, okay, Brad Holmes is doing something a little bit unconventional. Maybe we don't like him drafting a running back or linebacker in the first round, but again, the results speak for themselves. Those guys turned out to be big players for the Lions down the stretch, and they made an NFC championship for just the second time in franchise history.
He is Jeremy Reisman. He's the editor-in-chief of Pride of Detroit. You can follow him on X, Detroit on Lion. When you mentioned Jared Goff, what do you envision his future is like here in Detroit? Because he's got another year left on the contract, and of course, we haven't heard that a new one is forthcoming anytime soon. Can you give us an idea of what you think his future looks like with the Detroit Lions?
I'm still under the impression that's going to be one of the biggest priorities of this offseason. I know talks haven't really moved too much, you know, none of the leaks have really come out that they're close or anything like that. But I think that's just kind of how Brad Holmes operates. He doesn't operate with urgency when it comes to contract negotiations. Sometimes they get done in May, sometimes they get done in August. But everything this coaching staff has said, really from the minute that Jared Goff stepped in the door, is that he's our guy. We believe he can win, and he proves them right pretty much every step of the way after, you know, they improve the roster around him. So I think that's kind of their philosophy, is Jared Goff is a quarterback that when we get the right pieces around him, he's going to succeed, he's going to win, and he's going to give us the best chance at a Super Bowl. So I think that's kind of the plan going forward. I would very much expect a, you know, mid to longish term deal getting done sometime this offseason that'll probably have Jared Goff around until pretty much the end of his career. I'm not saying, you know, once he hits 33, 34, that's it for him, but you know, the people that might think, you know, Hendon Hooker is waiting in the wings and might take over the starting job in a couple of years, I don't see that happening. I think this team really likes Jared Goff, and I think they think he gives them the best chance to win.
I would argue that with Brad Holmes and Chris Spielman and all the people in the front office, along with Dan Campbell, I don't know if I've ever seen from afar an organization that is so finely tuned and on the same page. The symmetry that they have with one another is a big reason on why this franchise has had a success. How has that transpired, do you think? How quickly did that take place?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question, because I'm with you. I think that has been a key to what they've done, and it almost feels a little bit by accident, right? Because they hired these guys separately. They hired Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell separately. And Brad Holmes didn't really have much of a say in Dan Campbell being hired, but the way they tell the story is they clicked immediately. They saw things, you know, the same way. And I think part of that is the hiring process. They really looked, I think hiring Matt Patricia kind of taught them a lesson in terms of ego, and that seemed to be one of the main things that they were looking for in the power structure of this team, is guys that that don't have that ego, that are willing to listen to other people, that are collaborators, that are transparent with each other. And so having people with those kind of qualities as a person in the front office, that allows them to get along, right? If you're transparent, if you're honest with each other, if you don't mind disagreeing with someone and listening to someone else's argument, then you're suddenly going to get along a lot better. And so I think just highlighting those personality traits for leadership positions led them to being able to have a harmonious front office, which is, like you said, a key to success.
Jeremy Reisman's our guest. He's the editor-in-chief of Pride of Detroit. You can follow him on X at Detroit Online, getting ready for the NFL draft on Thursday. What do you think Detroit's biggest needs are?
Yeah, it's tough because there's not a lot of them. In terms of starting roles, I'm not sure there's one available for a rookie right away, particularly one that you might draft as low as 29. But in terms of depth, in terms of future needs, that's to me, I think, the key of what the Lions might do here. It's not so much needs in 2023, but needs in the long term. You know, you have a couple offensive linemen on expiring deals this year, so maybe you go offensive line. You have cornerbacks on one-year deals. So I think those are two areas that I could see the Lions going early. Wide receiver is another one where maybe there's an opening for a starting spot, depending on what you think of a guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then in terms of depth, I think safety is probably the biggest need, where they really only have three bodies there right now. And, you know, Ifeatu Melifonwu is a guy who's only started a few games at the safety position, so I don't know how much you can trust him right away. But I would highlight maybe those three or four positions: wide receiver, offensive line, corner, and safety.
Do you think what has made Brad Holmes so successful is that he drafts based on his board and the best player available and doesn't necessarily draft for need? Or do you think it's a different philosophy there?
No, I think that's been absolutely key to what he's done. He's said it over and over again, but if you start reaching for need, you're not going to get the player you want. And so I think that, combined with their very strict policy in terms of getting football players, guys who love ball, guys who are committed to the game, and having that be a non-negotiable, has led them to have a culture that, where I think it's not just you surround yourself with good players, but you surround yourself with good practicers, guys who are going to motivate each other and kind of be a force multiplier in a way that, you know, a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't just worth what he does on the field and all the balls he catches, but he's worth it in developing a culture in that wide receiver room. He's going to make his receivers better. He's going to make, you know, his running backs better. He's going to make everybody better with the way he puts in the work. So kind of surrounding yourself with that kind of guy while also making sure, yeah, we're a team that just needs talent. That should be the primary focus. And that's easy when, you know, you have so many needs, because a lot of the times you get these talented players that match up with needy because you have so many. It'll be interesting to see how he sticks with that. And he says he will stick with that kind of that philosophy, even though the Lions' needs have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And maybe just having no needs, no immediate needs, makes it easier to kind of follow that philosophy. But yes, that has been an absolute key, I think, to what the Lions have built here.
Perfect world, but realistic world. Because when I say perfect world, so many people immediately go, well, I'll tell you what I want. I want Marvin Harrison Jr. or whoever it may be, okay? That's not going to happen. You're not getting Malik Nabers. He's not going to be available. And if you're an in-the-trenches guy like me, you're not getting Joe Alt. But perfect but realistic world, how does Detroit address that need in the first round in your mind?
Man, it's tough. I think, to me, it's maybe one of the offensive linemen falling to Detroit. There's so many offensive linemen that could go in the top 20, that could go in the top 30. It's just one of them. And, you know, maybe a team scares off you, you know, because there's two or three interior offensive linemen that are already off the board. They don't want to settle for the third or fourth best. But someone like Graham Barton out at Duke, I think, is a perfect fit in terms of character, in terms of toughness and grit. He's a guy that can play maybe all five offensive line positions. He's a guy that's right on the border there of whether he will or won't be there. Jackson Powers Johnson is another offensive line that I think a lot of people here in Detroit really, really, really like. I'm a little bit lower on him. You know, even some of the offensive tackles, and I know, you know, there's been talks about bringing back Decker. You're obviously going to hand Penei Sewell a monster contract, but if the Lions want to, you know, have a little bit of an insurance policy or get a guy that could play both tackle and guard, a guy like Tyler Guyton is another one that I really like. And I know people are probably screaming like, nah, let's get defense. I'm a little bit scared about a lot of these prospects. Like Chop Robinson is a guy that could have a very, very high ceiling, and to get someone with those athletic traits all the way down at 29 is rare. But he's got a lot of boom bust potential as well. So I'm not sure I'm very high on him. That said, I would say like Cooper DeJean, the corner, some people view him as a safety out of Iowa. If he falls to Detroit, I think that would be a nice marriage of maybe a little bit of a bigger need within the, you know, more competition needed at that cornerback position combined with who I would think would be one of the best players available at 29.
Yeah, I would agree. Or a Nate Wiggins, a cornerback out of Clemson. That's possible. So that there's a, I think there's going to be a good player for him, in case people don't know who we were just referring to. Jackson Powers Johnson is the kid out of Oregon, right?
Yep.
And Tyler Guyton played at Oklahoma, I believe. Yeah. So those are the guys that you were referring to. It's interesting the options Detroit might have. Jeremy Reisman is the editor chief of Pride of Detroit, and you can follow him on X at Detroit on Lion. There has been speculation, and I stress that word, it's just speculation, that Brad Holmes could actually trade out. We have seen him do both, trade out and trade up. What would be the benefit there, and what you think Detroit could get if they chose? I know it depends on where they go. It depends on the team. But it seems to me at the offset that they've got plenty of draft picks to try and address some of the things that they need to address. How do you see that as a major benefit for Detroit?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on your view of this overall class. I think there is kind of a common perception that maybe this first round is maybe 20, 25 players deep. So if all those 25 players are gone, I think it's a fair assessment of this draft class to say the guys from like 26 to 45 are all kind of on that same level, that same plane of you know, talent. And if that's the case, you know, trading back would make a lot of sense. Again, you look at kind of the draft capital that this team has. They only have three picks in the top 150. After that, whatever, 72nd pick in the third round, they're not picking until after 150. So I think that's exactly the value right there, is to make sure that there isn't that huge gap of where you're not picking anybody. And you know, 80, 90 players go by without you making a selection. But again, like that's only valuable if you believe there are talented players in that draft class. Because you look at what they did last year, they basically used all their draft capital to get all their picks in the first three rounds. And then they had, you know, one or two picks late in the draft. And Brad Holmes said like that was, we wanted to get in and out of that draft. We wanted to get all of our picks done early because we didn't think it was a deep class. So if you don't think it's a deep class, a trade out isn't going to make a ton of sense. But if you do kind of think everyone on that, you know, late first, second, early second are all kind of the same level of talent, and you want some extra, maybe third round picks, maybe a fourth round pick that they don't currently have, then I think it would make sense.
Okay, I could talk to you for an hour, but I only got a couple more minutes. I want to get your quick thoughts on this. Are you of the belief that the top four quarterbacks go in the top 10 picks, and if so, why?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I do think they do, and it's mostly about need to me. I think there are just so many quarterback needy teams right now that, you know, I very much do believe the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. Obviously the Patriots are kind of the wild card since they have so many needs, and Bill Belichick isn't there. So it's hard to know what direction they go in, but Kraft has been pretty open about wanting a quarterback. So I think they get it. And with Minnesota, I think lining up, you know, two first round picks now, it seems like a foregone conclusion that they're going to trade up into the top 10 and get one to make it four in the top 10. To me, almost the more interesting question is like Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Do those guys make it into the first round? Are we going to see six in the first round, five in the first round? That one is a much tougher question, but I would say, I would expect four quarterbacks to go in the top 10 this week.
Yeah, it's a great question. Lastly, biggest surprise so far in the offseason, after Zach Wilson gets traded to Denver, Andy Reid extended by Kansas City. That's not a surprise. But what's been the biggest surprise to you in the NFL offseason so far?
Man, to me, kind of the saga of Kenny Pickett has been fascinating. Again, it kind of goes back to this quarterback carousel of guys that the Lions all passed on in the past. But, you know, it seemed like the Steelers were going to be perfectly fine having Russell Wilson there and Kenny Pickett kind of learning from him and maybe even being the quarterback of the future once you learn behind Russell Wilson. But Pickett had no interest in that, obviously, and now he's probably going to be a backup somewhere. So, all the quarterbacks kind of shuffling around, and really this has kind of been a pretty common trait, right? We saw it with Aaron Rodgers the year before. It just seems like there's a lot more quarterback carousel than there has been in the past. I mean, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. It's kind of shocking to me that teams are being a little less patient with their quarterbacks, but it is such a tough position to figure out, and some teams will take as many swings at the bat as it takes, I guess.
Okay, I lied. I got one more for you. Because I told you I could talk to you for an hour. What's the strongest position in this draft, do you think? Because so many people have talked about the quarterbacks, right? I think the top three wide receivers are pretty special. There's a lot of people like, as you mentioned, the offensive linemen. Where would you say this draft's biggest strength is?
Yeah, well, if I could say more broadly, it's clearly offense, right? If you got the quarterbacks, yes. You got the wide receivers, yeah. You got the offensive linemen. I think, you know, if you're an offensive team, or a team that needs offense, I should say, this is a very good draft for you, which I would say also kind of benefits the Lions, right? They're not a team that has a lot of offensive needs. And so back down at 29, maybe you see a ton of offensive player goes and one of those top tier defensive players slide to you. But if I had to zero in on one position, I think it's wide receiver. And again, I think this is a part of a bigger trend where, you know, the NFL style offense is starting to be a lot more like college style offense. This whole like idea of a pro style offense where you're running the ball and, you know, you got two running backs in the game and three tight ends. There are some teams that still play like that, but not a lot. And so I think you're seeing a lot of these, you know, 11 personnel, three wide receivers out there, kind of mimic the college game. And, you know, I think you can find good, talented wide receivers on day two that could become like Pro Bowl type players. We've seen that in the past. You know, we saw it with Amon-Ra. We saw it with Puka Nacua last year. That is just something that has really been a forward moving trend. And I think this year's draft class is no exception.
Well, that's really good news for the Lions if they want to do that. The record for most offensive players selected in the first round in a draft is 19. That has happened three separate times. And if you look at Caesars Sportsbook, the over-under for total offensive players this year is 21.5.
Wow.
Jeremy,
Jeremy,
great stuff, man. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoy your stuff. Keep up the great work. And I hope we get a chance to talk to you down the road. Very insightful stuff. You can follow him on X, Detroit on Lion. He is Jeremy Reisman. He's the editor-in-chief, Pride of Detroit. Great stuff. Thanks for your time this morning. Enjoy the draft on Thursday. You deserve it, man.
Thanks, Seth. Appreciate it.
You bet. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. And a really good guest. What great insight. Really enjoyed that.